three truths with many people in my ministry. And the guarantee is still good. If you follow these three words and understand what these three words are, you'll do good in your Christian life. But if you neglect any one of these three words, I guarantee you, you're going to be a shipwreck. I'm praying for a handful of people right now that are shipwrecked. In fact, a number of them, I've had this conversation. I've given them these three words, these principles. And they said, we don't want to hear that. And they've walked away. And I could take you to some of their house. Some of them live here in Amboy. Some of them live other places. You need to, I can't emphasize enough the importance of these things. God gave us two books of wisdom in the Bible. One of them, of course, is the Old Testament book of Proverbs. What's the New Testament book of wisdom? James. And both of them start out in a similar fashion. James starts out this way. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, James was the brother of Jesus. He never got saved until after Jesus was crucified. Can you imagine that? Growing up in the household of Jesus, who was his half-brother of Jesus, and never getting saved till after he saw the crucifixion. Then all of a sudden it dawned on him. And the book of Proverbs starts out this way. In chapter number 1, to know wisdom and the instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now, let me point this out, because one young man specifically, I remember pointing this out because it was very obvious he was a very intelligent, very gifted young man. I mean, he's one of these kids that could read a chapter of the Bible and tell you and quote it back to you by reading it one time. I think of two young men that fit in that same category. And I shared these principles with them. And I said, before you can ever be used of God, they're both Christians. Before you can ever be used of God, you're going to have to learn something that Solomon had to learn. You see, Solomon was given the best education. He was groomed to be the next king of Israel. When he finally was made king, when God chose him to be king, he went to talk to God in prayer. And God said, Solomon, you can ask anything that you want. Now, granted, Solomon was probably the most educated person in the kingdom. And Solomon said this in his prayer, God, I need wisdom. I have a lot of knowledge, but I don't have any wisdom. In fact, he said in his prayer in 2 Kings that I don't know how to stand up. I don't know how to sit down. I don't know how to stand up or to sit down. I'm as confused as Solomon. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to go out. I don't know anything. God, I need wisdom. And because of that, God gave him wisdom. Did you catch that? And God blessed him. Now, the sad reality is, Solomon's one of my favorite characters to study in the Bible. Now, I love the book of Proverbs. He penned most of it. But Solomon, with all his knowledge, with all his wisdom, and with all his understanding that we're going to talk about tonight, he still failed. We're still humans. We're still capable of the worst sin. Don't ever think you're above sin. A lot of fools have thought they're above sin. A lot of wise people have become fools because they thought they were above sin. Now I'm going to look at a chapter of Scripture tonight, Proverbs chapter number 4, and beginning in verse number 1. I want you to read this because what we're going to look at tonight, the three words that you've noticed, they're in bold print and your bookmark there. And I want you to use this bookmark, especially the adults that are reading through Proverbs today. And kids, I'd encourage you, especially though you're not in the adults doing our Bible study in Proverbs, young people, you need to read a proverb a day. You really need, and this would be a good bookmark because I want you to look for these three words all the way through the book of Proverbs to get a better understanding of these three words we're going to look at. The three words are knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You're going to see all three of them in this chapter. And again, all the way through the book of Proverbs, you see these words repeated over and over again. And we're just going to find them and tell you some things about those words tonight. Hear ye children, the instruction of the father, and tend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. Shall she deliver to thee. The crown of glory and the ornament of grace is what we talked about when we started our study in Proverbs with the adults. Hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many. That's a great promise there, isn't it? I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details there, but I want you to see three words that are mentioned here. And again, you'll see them all the way through Proverbs. Now, I've given you the definition. Sometimes the definition is not exactly the same because I personally don't write these definitions down. But I wrote them down for you. First of all, the word knowledge. Knowledge is simply the collecting, the gaining, the retaining, and regurgitating of facts. That's knowledge. You go into school and they give you all the facts. That's why I never did good in school. Because things don't stay up there very long. Because I've got mashed potato brains, right? No, the girls have mashed potato brains, and men, guys have meatloaf brains, right? And some folks get offended at that, and that's why you're not going to amount to anything for the Lord. But I have meatloaf brains, and they go in, and they just get all mixed up, and I can't spit them back out. But if you do good in school, that means you can hold things in here, and they're asked to give them on a test, and you can write them back down. Again, now I did pretty good on multiple guess tests. That was all right. But we won't go any farther than that. Knowledge is gaining, retaining, and then regurgitating. I just put that in there so you remember what it is. You don't forget that word. But spitting them out, giving the facts back. Knowledge is only gained by instruction, by listening, by reading. What we call education. That's why you go to school, to gain knowledge. Knowledge is not always gained at formal education, not in a classroom setting. In fact, sometimes the most important knowledge you're given is not given in a classroom. My favorite preacher is Lester Rolla. A lot of you probably never heard of him. I love a statement that he gave one time. Somebody asked, Brother Rolla, how many years of formal education have you had? And he said, I've had 18 years, but keep praying for him because I've gotten over most of it. Most formal education, we need to get over it. Education, the disciples had never been to a religious school, and yet they turned the world upside down for the cause of Christ. Acts chapter number 4 says, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they've never gone to formal school. They've never got the knowledge of the religious crowd. But they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That they learned some things at the feet of Jesus. Get knowledge. Get as much knowledge as you can. But don't be too impressed with your knowledge. There was a time when I was impressed with people's knowledge. But to be quite honest with you, I'm not much impressed with people's knowledge anymore. Education without the fear of God is the most dangerous thing in our world today. Did you catch that? Education without the fear of God in Christian schools is just as dangerous as it is in public schools. And let me just put this in here because when you follow the word knowledge, and I love to study words throughout the Bible, and it'll throw you off if you don't have this understanding. In that little box there, Another usage of the word knowledge in the Bible can be defined as this. And I'll give you a couple of biblical illustrations, and there's literally probably 100 of them I could give you. Having an intimate relationship with someone, that is, to know them. For example, in Philippians 3:10, some of you might know that verse, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable into the image of Christ. He's talking about knowing Christ. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 5, and chapter 1 of 2 Peter, God gives us 7 things. If we add these 7 things to our faith, we'll never fall in our Christian life. But if we neglect these 7 things, we will fail as a Christian. One of those 7 things is knowledge. He says, add to your faith in verse number 5, giving all diligence, work more than anything else. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And the knowledge, temperance, I won't go through the rest of them. The difference is knowing about God and knowing God. That's one of the ways the word knowledge is used in the Bible. And you'll see when you read and you study the Bible, you'll see the difference as clear as can be. Maybe the most obvious illustration, it says a number of times, and one of the first times it's used this way is in Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 1, where it says, when Adam knew Eve, his wife, and they bore a son. We won't go any farther than that, all right? Kids, ask your parents about that one, all right? It was more than making goo-goo eyes at each other. Right? They got to know each other. And that's the way the word knowledge is used throughout the Bible. But the word knowledge we're looking at, especially in the book of Proverbs, is gaining and retaining fact, getting an education, learning, studying, memorizing things. But then after knowledge, this is the order it should go. We get knowledge and then we get wisdom. What is wisdom? Seeing things through the eyes. Now, this is the best the world could give is this, seeing things through the eyes of someone else. Sometimes you hear, walk a mile in someone else's moccasins until you wear someone else's shoes or whatever. Seeing things the way other people see them. That's the best the world can do for wisdom. God's wisdom is seeing things the way God sees them. How can we do that? There's only one way we can see things the way God sees them. What, go to heaven and look down? Well, get into the Word of God. Are you with me, kids? Are you with me here? All right. Seeing things the way God sees them. Knowledge without wisdom fills us with pride and leads us to death and destruction. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffeth up. Some of the most proud, arrogant, self-righteous people I know have a lot of knowledge, but very little wisdom. The only way to get wisdom is through life experience, through obedience, through personal interaction, and getting outside of our comfort zone. And a lot of people don't want to do that. It's interesting that our world tells us that education is a solution to all our problems. Giving them information, that's the worst thing we can do. Like telling them we need some self-esteem. They got too much self-esteem. We need to humble ourselves before God. Just a glance at current events tells you how foolish that philosophy is. Without wisdom, even if we have knowledge, we're simple-minded. A great illustration in Proverbs chapter number 7 tells a story where Solomon looked out and saw a young man who had knowledge, but he had no wisdom, and called him one of the simple ones. And that chapter sounds like a country western song, tells how he's destroyed his life by doing things a young man ought not to be doing because he had knowledge, but he didn't have wisdom. And his passions were uncontrolled because he did not have wisdom. Wisdom only comes with time. Let me say this, young people, I know I give you a hard time, but that doesn't mean I think you're stupid. All right? You probably have more knowledge than I do. In fact, some of you guys, I wouldn't doubt that you have more knowledge than I do in some things. You got a sharper mind. I know you have a sharper mind than I did when I was a kid. I was, duh. we play football. We wrestle. We play football. And that's about all I can know to do. You have more knowledge than I do. But wisdom is something that only comes with time. It only comes with time. Now, the dangerous thing is, when you get a little taste of wisdom, you think you got it all figured out. When you get about 18, you start to get a little bit of wisdom. Is he getting any yet? Yes. He's a late, maybe when he's 19, he'll start to get a little bit of wisdom. And then when he's about 23, he'll think he knows something. And somebody who thinks they know something are real dangerous. But now they're making life-changing decisions, sometimes world-changing decisions, and they really don't know up from down. But they think that they got it figured out. Brother Dave Smith, a lot of you remember him. They used to run the Cedar River Baptist Camp years ago. One of my favorite quotes from him is, "One of the dumbest things God ever invented was a Bible college graduate." Because they've got all that knowledge, and they've got a little bit of taste of wisdom. Now they think they got the world by its tail. Now they think they got it all figured out. And he says that because he's had a lot of experience watching churches destroyed by Bible college graduates that thought they had it figured out. "I've been brought up in church. I've been brought up in church. I've took the Bible college classes. I know all this stuff." Oh, boy. Recently I met a college graduate, little girl, graduated from college. She got her degree. She said, "What are you planning on doing with your degree?" "Well, I'm thinking about, working at a camp. This camp is really neat because we get old preachers to come in. Retired pastors or pastors that have are getting a little bit weary in the battle, or missionaries that are just getting tired of the ministry, and we get them into camp, and I've got all the answers for them because I've got a psychology degree." And I thought, wow, what can be more foolish than that right there? But they've got all the answers. They've got it all figured out because they've been in church all their life. They know their Bible. They've got a lot of knowledge. Very little wisdom. I watch people go down this path. "Well, I know what I'm doing. I'm old enough to make my own decisions." It's too late to counsel that person. The only hope that they have is that they would humble themselves and make a U-turn somewhere down the road. My heart goes out for some that I've watched grow up in this church. Some have been going the wrong way for a while. I hope that someday, before they completely ruin their life, and that's why God said in Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Well, I got it figured out, preacher. There's no substitute for time in gaining wisdom. That's why God says, go to the old people. Go to the ones that have been around a while. A mighty oak tree doesn't grow up. I planted out at the farm, I call it. They planted a lot of seedling trees. They probably won't be much higher than me in my lifetime. But they're oak trees. They're going to be big, strong. It's going to take longer than my lifetime for those things to grow up, what I'm picturing them as. They don't come up overnight. And then when we get wisdom, after wisdom comes understanding. Understanding is knowing the mind and character of God or of others. And let me say this. My wife and I have been married 39 years. It's going to be 39 years this year, right? Did I get it right? Did I get a cookie when I get home? It's going to be 39 years this summer. I think I know her a little bit. I have some understanding of her. I know if I do certain things, going to irritate her. Huh? I have some understanding of each other. Because I've learned. I've applied wisdom. But we can never fully understand anybody. Understanding of God is knowing the mind and the character of God, but we can never fully understand God. We can never fully understand anyone, even ourselves. Some of you might have guessed that I like hunting. I blame Rex for that, by the way. And I always enjoyed being outdoors, and he said, "You got to go hunting sometime." And I did. And the first year I got addicted to it. So I'm an addict right now. I've learned some things. I thought, well, I want to learn how to hunt. I'm going to learn how to do that. I read some things, and okay, you do this, and deer do this at certain times of year, and they act this way, and they follow this path. But there's no substitute for spending time out in the woods. One of my nieces yesterday, she's the same age as Chloe. Chloe and Allison, and who else was born the same year? Alexis. I was giving her a hard time because Chloe and Alexis are married and have children, but she's still single. I feel left out. And she says, "I want to go hunting sometime." And if you could picture Chloe, only sillier, that's Allison. Okay? I know that's hard to picture, sillier than Chloe. Looks like her, sounds like her, everything. She says, "I want to go hunting with you." I thought, okay, this ought to be good. Talked to her dad. Her idea of going hunting is going down an aisle at Walmart and picking out the deer you want, saying that's it, put in the cart and go home with it. And that's about as much patience as she's going to have. This ought to be fun. You come up here, I'd love to take you. It would be fun to watch, if nothing else. But there's no substitute. I've learned how the deer behave. I see where they walk in the woods when I'm out there, but you just got to be out there. You just got to spend some. Brother Ted doesn't get to spend a lot of time out. So it's just luck when he gets one. And folks say, "I don't know how you can stand sitting out there all the time." I absolutely love it. That's the best place in the world to pray. That's the best place in the world to read this book, especially now with cell phones. Because in the past, when I tried to read this book, and I got a commentary over here and another book I'm studying over here, and a deer comes by, you got this library you got to fold up and put away somehow. But now it's all on your phone. It's right there. All you got to do is put it down, stick it under your leg, and you're ready to go. And then beside that, you can see it in the dark. You don't even need a flashlight to read it. And boy, I spend days out there. And my wife will tell you I do. But there's no substitute to spending time. You can know all about deer behavior. You can know all about hunting, but without spending the time, you're never going to get anything. And wisdom and understanding is something that just takes time. As we grow in wisdom and understanding, now this is the most amazing thing. When we begin to grow in wisdom and understanding, we realize that we really don't know as much as we thought we knew. Thought I had it all figured out. You know, the more I get in this book, the more I learn of this book, the more I realize how foolish I am. How simple-minded I am. How little I really know of this book. But as long as I stay away from this book, I think I know a lot. I almost think they got it all figured out. And the more we get in the book, the more we realize how little we know. I've been watching, sometimes my wife joins me, Rex Jr. introduced me to the Blue Planet 1, Blue Planet 2, we've been watching the 2. You know, I love to read science books and history books. I know I'm boring, but I love to read them. I love to study science. And with that, you watch these, it's a documentary, it's got amazing photography. And they're documenting, you know, in all the science documentaries, I say, well, this animal evolved this. This one, after millions and millions of years, it evolved this. But what I've been enjoying the most about the Blue Planet 2 series as they get into animals that evolution doesn't even want to touch. They don't even use the phrases, well, this evolved, because it doesn't make a lick of sense. Why did God ever make that animal? Just to make us scratch our heads and realize we don't know what we think we know. I mean, this animal has nothing to do with the rest of all of creation, or evolution, they say. So they don't even talk about how this thing came into being. They just said, this is just amazing. We don't know how this... And they don't say, we don't, well, they really don't know, but they don't come out and say that. But they have no fake answers that they can give to you. And they have no silly explanation that they can give to you. Because they're so unique and so unusual, there's nothing in all the world that even remotely resembles this animal. There's no way it could have evolved from anything else. So they just say, this is fascinating. Look at this animal. That's what they ought to do to begin with. And they ought to say, God created this thing to do that. But I'm amazed at what you can learn when you begin to study. And I was thinking of this with science. The word science means, who can tell me, this is worth a candy bar. One of the kids can raise their hand. Tell me, what does the word science know? It means, I get the candy bar. What does the word, I just gave it to you. What does the word science mean? It means to know. All right. What does the word, never mind. You don't mind if I eat my candy bar now, do you? The word science means to know something. You ever hear people talk about the theory of evolution? You know there's no such thing as a theory of evolution. By definition of what a theory is, evolution is not a theory. Where did evolution come from? Well, people had this idea that there was no God. And they said, our understanding is that we just came from somewhere without any help from any God. So they came up with what's called in the science world a hypothesis. That's a fun word to say, isn't it? Especially if you slur your S's. Hypothesis. And Charles Darwin took a voyage to a remote island where he could study these finches. And he said, my hypothesis is that animals gradually change over time. So he studied these little finches and watched them over time change. And his hypothesis was, well, if finches can change, maybe if we're given enough time, that bird will change into a fish. Or versa versa, whichever way we want to put it. And my hypothesis now has to be proven. And once a hypothesis has some proof behind it, then it becomes a theory. But there never has been any proof that one species has changed to another. Amen. Not one time. Never has been, never will be. There's all kinds of... look at kids. Teenagers are a whole lot bigger than they were when I was a teenager. When I was a kid, if you were 6 foot tall in high school, you were tall. If you're 6 foot tall in the fifth grade now, you're about average, it seems like, anymore. And they're growing this way, too. They're evolving to Amazon. Man, look at the Hickses. Look at they walk with their knuckles dragging and everything. No. they're evolving. But they're not going to, they're not going to turn into gorillas, but I've watched some NBA games. They do turn into gorillas eventually. They're not going to change into a different species. But there's differences in a kind or in a species. But the theory was, well, when we can find some, then we will have enough to call it. They've never developed it into a theory. But it's interesting that they teach it as if it's a fact. Well, we know this took place. I heard somebody that he's dead now. He used to be on the radio years ago on a secular radio station. I call him the most intelligent fool I've ever known. I mean, you name a subject, he can just rattle on about it forever. Now, more knowledge than is possible for a human being to have, I would think. But he denied God. I remember him saying, introducing him, he always had different guests on his radio program, and he got on the radio one day, "We know evolution happened, we just don't know how it happened." How do you know it happened? There is nothing to show that it ever happened. That's knowledge without the fear of God, by the way. And all knowledge without the fear of God leads us to the same place. Without wisdom, even if we have knowledge, we're simple-minded. And we'll never gain an understanding. A spiritual understanding is only gained. I can't emphasize that enough. Spiritual understanding is only gained by studying, memorization, meditation, and application of the Word of God. Did you get that? It's not just knowing the facts about the Bible, but memorizing, meditating on it, and letting God work in your life, and giving you daily experience. So how does that work? When you learn a truth in the Bible, you ask God, "God, show me how that works," and you'll be amazed what God shows you. And you begin to gain wisdom and understanding. And the interaction, and when we hunger and thirst, you ever hear people say, "Practice makes perfect"? Music teachers are good at saying that. My son-in-law is a music teacher, and he says, "Practice does not make perfect unless you practice properly. The wrong practice makes you a worse piano player. Proper practice brings you closer to perfection." And a hungering and thirsting for the Word of God will draw you closer to Him and will give you true understanding of God's Word. It's interesting, I was sharing with some of my older brothers, we had a family get together yesterday, and there weren't a lot of us there. I think there were 7 of us siblings there, which was a little more than half of us, I guess. To my older brothers, we were sharing, reminiscing about the old. It's funny when we get together now, every one of my siblings has high blood pressure. Every one of us is hard of hearing. In fact, we're making fun. Every time we get together, we're making fun of the next person that got a hearing aid. And they're the only ones that can hear the conversation, the ones that have the hearing aid. The rest are, "What?" And I'm always turning my good ear towards everybody. And that's just that. And we go back to when we were kids. I thought my older brothers were smart. But I found out they didn't do much better in school than I did. Of course, I passed with flying D minuses, but they flashed with flying D pluses. So they were a little smarter than me. No, I had to get a C average to play sports. So that's what I got. Something happened when I was actually a freshman in college. I got saved. Actually, 2 things happened. I realized education costs something. I had to put some effort into it. I had to pay for my college. And then I got saved. And begin to study and read and memorize and meditate on this book. And understood, and as a young Christian, I memorized Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That statement right there transformed my grade point average. I went from a C-minus student to an A-minus student all the way through college from there on out, simply because I gave myself to this book right here. And later, when studying the book of Proverbs, I came across a verse in Proverbs. I thought, wow, I'm a living illustration of that. Proverbs 14 and verse number 6 says, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not." He may have a lot of knowledge, but he's never going to get wisdom because he doesn't want to look where it's found. But then it says this, and this is what, wow, it's like when the light bulb comes on. You ever wonder what happens with the Amish person when they get a good thought? Somebody lights the candle. The light bulb came on when I read the rest of that verse. Knowledge is easy to him that hath understanding. Did you catch that? Knowledge begins to come when you gain understanding. When you see the three work hand in hand together. If any man lack knowledge, James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He may have knowledge, he may not have knowledge. But God will give him wisdom if he asks. And with wisdom, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, Proverbs says, get understanding. You will get understanding when you get wisdom. Whether you have what people might want to call knowledge or not. I'll just say that I was going to use this for an illustration. I'll just mention I become a big fan this year of Daniel Boone. I'm reading my fourth biography. I finally got a copy. I'm kind of saddened that I can't find somebody to read it to me. I got to read it with my own eyes of Daniel Boone, written by John Mason Peck. You probably know who John Mason Peck is, don't you? A Baptist preacher that was one of the first Baptists in the state of Illinois. He also wrote a great biography of Daniel Boone. But Daniel Boone was seen, as a lot of people, as an uneducated person. And John Mason Peck starts out his biography saying he was the most knowledgeable person in the United States of America in his time. And he didn't get that knowledge from school. He read a lot. In fact, there are two books that he had with him almost all the time. And later in his life, he read them both constantly. One was the Bible, and one was Gulliver's Travels. My wife and I are reading that one. That's interesting. You can see where he gets a lot of his ideas. But he was a man that demonstrated understanding and wisdom. Not only about the backwoods and finding places around. He traveled all over the country, mapped the country, and never owned a compass, had no use for a compass. He didn't need one. He just knew which direction he was. He was like a cat. He'd throw him up in the air, they always land on his feet. He always knew which was north and south and east and west, no matter if it was dark or anything. He could always find his way anywhere. And he built relationships with the Indians so much that he was adopted by a chief Indian and lived as a son of this chief for a year and a half as an Indian. And finally he said, I've had enough of this. My wife probably wondering where I am. It's about time I go home now. And then he got home and found out his wife had a baby. How'd that happen? But we won't go into that. But it's interesting, the wisdom and the knowledge that he demonstrated without, and some folks say, well, he was uneducated. He had better education than most people I know. It just wasn't done in the halls of a school. And knowledge is simple when you have understanding. So these three words, I've gone longer than I wanted to tonight, and I didn't want to even get into that one, but knowledge, wisdom, understanding. The beginning of knowledge is a fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. In all thy getting, get wisdom, or get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. And you'll never get the wisdom and understanding. You'll never get the wisdom that God wants you to until you've, as they used to say, gone around the block a few times. Don't ever write off your parents or your grandparents as not knowing what they're talking about. Even when I was saved, and the devil talked me into as a Christian, well, my parents aren't saved. I don't have to listen to them. Even as a lost young person, I learned the value in listening to my parents. I had to learn it the hard way. I kind of messed up before I learned it. I'm glad I did, though, because God began to give me wisdom and understanding when I realized I need to listen to mom and dad. I need to listen to those that they don't seem to see things. Well, there's a reason they don't see things the way we see them, because they've got some wisdom and understanding that we can't get until we get some age behind us, so to speak. Wisdom's not something that just comes naturally. Well, I just, you know, went to college and I've read the Bible. And well, you got a lot of knowledge, but that's not going to do it. And you're going to make a mess of yourself. You don't gain in continually growing in wisdom and understanding. Father, we